What's going on at the bottom of the ocean? Who knows? Only about 20% of the seafloor has been charted so far. And as the implosion of the Titan submersible reminded us, exploring the deep sea is a risky business. But an urgent effort to map this mysterious terrain is underway nevertheless. And that story is told in the book, The Deepest Map, The High-Stakes Race to Chart the World's Oceans by Laura Trethewey. Laura writes about the environment and the ocean for publications, including the Wall Street Journal, Smithsonian Magazine, The Garden, The Atlantic, and The Globe and Mail. Here she is with five key insights from her book.
Hi, my name is Laura Trethewey, and I'm an award-winning ocean journalist and author of The Deepest Map. My new book follows two quests in the deep sea, a businessman and explorer's mission to dive the deepest points of all five oceans, and a group of ocean mappers who are intent on finishing the first complete chart of the global seafloor. Here are five insights drawn from The Deepest Map. Insight number one. There's danger in the deep. When the Titan submersible imploded last month, carrying five tourists to the wreckage of the Titanic, the catastrophe spotlighted the dangers of deep-sea tourism. Up until recently, deep-sea submersibles were off-limits to the public, because only the military or scientific agencies could afford them. Today, the richest people in the world can pay for a personal trip to space or the deep sea. In 2019, the Dallas multimillionaire Victor Vescovo announced his intention to join these ranks of privately funded explorers. He wanted to become the first person to dive the deepest points of all five oceans, and he wanted to dive them alone. Patrick Leahy, the CEO of Triton Submarines, who built Victor, his specially designed submersible, absolutely hated the idea of Victor going alone. What would the team do if they lost contact with him beneath the surface? If the unthinkable happened, how would they retrieve his body thousands of feet below the surface? About halfway through Victor's first dive to the Atlantic's deepest point, he missed a scheduled check-in with Patrick, floating miles above on the support ship. "Victor, can you read me?" Patrick yelled into his headset again and again. Nothing but the soft wash of static filled the room. 25 minutes of silence passed, and then suddenly Victor's voice crackled through the underwater communication system. He was fine. All systems go. Unlike the uncertified Titan submersible, Victor paid $250,000 to certify his sub. And he went on to successfully reach the bottom of the Atlantic, as well as the Pacific, Indian, Southern, and Arctic oceans too. Danger in the deep is a given. And so safety at sea should be too, particularly as deep-sea tourism expands in the future. Insight number two. There's a new world in the deep. We know more about the moon than we do the deep sea. As a journalist devoted to covering the ocean, I've lost count of how many times I've read this cliche, and yet it never fails to pique my curiosity. Why do we know so little about the seafloor? And why do we care more about exploring distant planets? Since the late 1960s, government support for ocean exploration has dwindled, while funding for space exploration has skyrocketed. Here's one statistic for you. NASA's investments in space exploration dwarf ocean exploration by more than 150 to 1. The curious thing, though, is that ocean exploration and space exploration have a lot in common. Take the gear, for starters. Deep-sea submersibles are built to withstand a parallel universe of bone-crushing barometric pressure, freezing temperatures, and corrosive salt water. Just like rovers and rockets have to tolerate the harsh conditions of outer space. The two fields also share a hunt for extreme life. In the deep sea, there are animals and organisms that have evolved to live under intense pressure without light or oxygen. These creatures could be a good analog for the aliens we might discover on distant planets. And then just the outlook is a little similar too. When Victor Vescovo sank to the bottom of all five oceans, he compared the plankton rushing past his porthole to the view of stars moving at warp speed as a rocket ship launches into space. But we don't need to blast off to Mars anytime soon. With only a quarter of the global seafloor mapped and less than 1% explored, we already have another planet to explore right here on Earth. Insight number 3, there is mystery in the deep. The next insight I learned came from a character aboard Victor Vescovo's Five Deeps expedition. Cassie Bongiovanni, the 25-year-old ocean mapper who discovered the deepest points of all five oceans. That's right, we didn't even know where the deepest points on the planet were until Victor and Cassie decided to go find them. Ocean mapping is often relegated to the world of shipping and safe navigation. But as Cassie discovered during her year and a half at sea, there is so much more to ocean mapping than moving ships from port A to port B. There are fascinating mysteries down there, like the final resting place of Amelia Earhart's plane and the Malaysian Airlines Flight 370. There are roughly 3 million shipwrecks scattered across the ocean floor, less than 1% of which have been explored. The search for the MH370 turned up two 19th century shipwrecks in the Indian Ocean. There's also human history buried on continental shelves. When the glaciers of the last ice age melted 10,000 years ago, a deluge of water drowned coastal landscapes equal to the size of South America. Early humans loved the coast just as much as we do, and by mapping those sunken coastlines, we could answer big, unresolved questions like when and how people first populated the Americas. At the end of the Five Deeps expedition, Victor and Cassie turned over 400,000 square miles of seafloor maps to Seabed 2030, the global initiative that aims to finish the first public map of the seafloor. This map is just the jumping-off point for asking so many more interesting questions about our planet. As Cassie once said of her map, this is only a taste of the science that's out there. Insight number 4. There's money in the deep. While some are eager to map the deep, there are many more who see dollar signs down there. Just as efforts are underway to finish the first map of the seafloor, there's a larger push going on to open this underwater world to commercial mining, perhaps as soon as 2024. This issue couldn't be timelier, because this July, a rule that has safeguarded the seafloor from commercial mines will expire, and the governments of the world are meeting to discuss issuing the first permits. The leap from map to mining might sound inevitable, even predictable to some. As the journalist Stephen Hall once wrote, a map always presages some form of exploitation. And this is especially true of new frontiers like the deep sea, where our knowledge is so sparse. Although there are many examples throughout history of maps paving the way for extraction and exploitation, there are important exceptions, too. In the years following World War II, shortly after Antarctica was mapped for the first time, the international community rallied together and signed a treaty that conserves this vast, uninhabited continent for science. The businessman Victor Vescovo also came away from his time exploring the deep sea as an ardent opponent to mining and extraction. The fragile deep-sea world is not another frontier to map, mine, and throw away. It's a foundational environment whose importance we've only begun to fathom. Insight number 5. There's humanity in the deep. How can there be humanity on the deep, dark, dangerous seafloor, you might ask? Well, as it turns out, all life on Earth began at the seafloor, likely at a hydrothermal vent. In 1977, a team of marine scientists stumbled upon the first one, along with a huge cluster of mussels, clams, and crabs feasting off the minerals spewing up from this underwater hot spring. Like so many discoveries in the deep, this was a major and accidental find. Until then, the generally accepted wisdom was that all life on Earth was photosynthetic, that is, dependent on the sun for energy. Suddenly, a new chemosynthetic existence hove into view, one that had the power to upend everything we know about life on Earth. Since that first discovery, researchers have uncovered more than 600 vent fields across the global ocean. We don't know which vent exactly gave birth to life on Earth, but there are some good candidates out there, like the Lost City in the Atlantic. With its spiraling, smoking chimneys rising 200 feet from the seafloor, The last city looks like something right out of The Lord of the Rings, and it could hold the secret to humanity's earliest origins. That's why mapping the seafloor is also a quest to understand ourselves. Thank you so much for listening, and I hope you enjoy reading The Deepest Map.
Thank you, Laura. That was Laura Trethewey with 5 big ideas from The Deepest Map, the high-stakes race to chart the world's oceans. Also, check out our book bite for Life on the Rocks, Building a Future for Coral Reefs by Julie Burwald. I'm Michael Kovnat. Thanks for listening.